Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to that subscribe button. We're on the road on YouTube to 182,000 subs. I don't think we've been stuck at 181 and change.
Pretty much the entire year.
So let's try to get Steven Larson up to 182,000.
Yeah.
That's our big push.
That's the goal for the end of the year.
For the end of the year, see if we can get 250 lousy subs. Anyways, before we get on with today's show, we want to give a shout out to the Going In Raw sponsor, the Original Craft Beer Club. The Original Craft Beer Club discovers exceptional craft brews from around the country and delivers them right to your door. Or you can get it as a gift for someone. It's my birthday coming up very soon.
Oh, yeah, in like a week.
Yeah, and send it to my door. Going In Raw listeners can now get $10 off orders of 3 months or more by going to www.craftbeerclub.com/goinginraw. All one word. The link is at the top of the description. You'll be supporting us Going In Raw by clicking the link. And later on in the show, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about the Original Craft Beer Club. So
yes,
thanks to them for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you very much.
We're also, of course, on the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We got a whole room, a whole chat room full of people watching this live as it happens. You could be one of those people. Just head over to patreon.com/Steven Larson. Find out how. It's usually by kicking in money.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any usually about it. It's by kicking in money.
I'm about to cry right now, Larson, just like Roman Reigns was about to cry because John Cena talked to him like a dad who was putting his son on permanent groundation.
Yeah, it seemed that way. We'll get to that in a bit, though.
What was your general... Oh, yeah. First of all, we got to talk about...
Raw!
All right. What was your general thoughts on Raw?
It was an enjoyable show.
It was an enjoyable show. My thing is, I never go into Raw expecting much these days. But last couple of weeks, I've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. It's so big. It's so expansive.
Yes.
You got to sift through a lot of stuff. But obviously, the high point for last night, it was confirmed Roman Reigns, John Cena, their match is going down at No Mercy.
No Mercy.
And so they had their official
contract signing
last night. And that resulted in a promo between these two guys, mostly on the part of John Cena, where it got Twitter and the internet, the wrestling community, quite a buzz.
Yeah, everybody was talking about it.
Everybody was buzzing about it. Larson was crazy.
It was crazy. But we'll get to that in more detail during that part of the show.
Right.
Overall, show kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
With no video recaps or graphic package.
Yeah.
It kicked off with The Miz and The Miztourage in the ring.
Yeah.
He drops a promo, again, talking about, he's about to talk about respect. Kurt Angle's music hits.
Yeah.
Right as The Miz is saying the word respect.
He was going to use the dictionary definition of the word respect.
And he ended up doing so after Kurt Angle came out.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that. But anyways, he says, the IC title holder needs more respect, Kurt Angle, and you don't give me that. Kurt Angle said, all right, well, you know what? Long story short, tonight we're going to have a battle royal.
Yes.
To determine the number one contendership for your Intercontinental title.
And that match will happen next week on Raw.
I was going to say No Mercy, but yeah, you're right. It's going to happen on Raw.
Next week
on Raw. That's right. And that launches right into the Intercontinental Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Two of the participants were in the Miztourage.
Yeah.
So Miz wanted to, obviously, he was trying to get them over, thinking that he can probably, get
one of them lay down, or either of them lay down.
Finger poke doom deals.
Yeah. There was some star power in this Battle Royal. Finn Balor, Hardys.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Hawkins was also in it. He was the first eliminated.
For a moment, everybody, because he tried to stop the match after the ring, after the ring bell, he tried to say, hold on, I'm going to give my facts. Everybody collectively picked him up and threw him out of the ring.
Yes. And there were some interesting moments. Finn Balor helped the club eliminate.
Yes.
Well.
Freshly shaven. He looks like Bundy. He looks like King Kong Bundy now.
Yeah.
And there was that moment between the club and Balor, and Carl Anderson was going up for the two sweet, and before Balor can make a decision as to whether or not to do it, they were all interrupted by I forget who.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
so that, I wonder if that's going to lead to anything. Probably not.
Fun little story there. I like that, though. That's the kind of thing you only usually get in the Royal Rumble. You get many stories of history told within the confines of the Royal Rumble.
It'd be interesting if Bray Wyatt were to reform the Wyatt family, if Finn Balor would enlist the help of Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, but it'd be fun.
Never know. Anderson and Gallows are tweeners now, man.
Yeah, I know.
They're sort of straddling that line there, so it's all good.
Speaking of Bray Wyatt, he gets involved. Lights go down.
That's not ending.
Lights come up. He tosses Finn over the top rope. Lights go down. Mm-hmm. Lights come back up. Nor would be seen.
I'm so happy that you only took about 10 seconds to describe that, because it felt like it took forever. Every time the lights go down and then that package hits, lights go back up, I feel like I've lost a year of my life. Like, it's just too much, dude, because you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much. Apparently, that led to a street fight as a dark match after the show. Yeah. I assume Finn Balor won.
Yeah, I would think so.
they like to have people
send
go home
the
happy.
Fans home happy.
Exactly, yeah.
The finish of this battle royal saw Jason Jordan eliminate the Miztourage, and then right afterwards eliminate Elias.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff Hardy took advantage of Jason Jordan,
mm-hmm.
Kind of being distracted by eliminating everybody.
Hey, you know what?
Jeff Hardy eliminates Jason Jordan, wins the Battle Royal, new number one contender for the Intercontinental title.
That was really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
The solo push for Jeff Hardy begins.
Seemingly.
Matt better hope that broken IP comes through someday soon, because he will be lost in the shuffle. Wonderful. You know what would be great, though, if he took on less of an active wrestler role and more of a supporting figure for Jeff Hardy?
Yeah, that could be cool.
Because I feel like, you know, Jeff is the wrestling focus for those guys. Matt is more the character focus,
yeah,
which is great. And so I think if they stick together as a group and wrestle as a tag team when need be, but otherwise just have Matt sort of back in Jeff's play,
mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a decent enough.
But if Matt wanted to still wrestle, just during the next shakeup, send him to SmackDown.
Oh, that's a terrible idea. Don't do
what?
That. Because don't do that.
The alternative is that they're gonna have him feud or something like that. I don't want to see that.
They don't have to do that. They already did that before.
I know they've
just
done that a lot.
Him,
I'm saying.
Just have him have his proxy. If they split him up, Matt Hardy's gonna be released like within 3 weeks.
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
You can't straddle a line between broken and not broken forever. Or maybe you can. They've been doing it for what, 6 months now.
Yeah. And it seems to be doing okay.
I sort of
I thought this was actually kind of fun.
No, this was a great way to start the show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, as I was watching it, who I felt. When I heard that Finn Balor was in, I was like, oh, Balor's going to win.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy was a bit of a surprise.
Kind of, but then in retrospect, when you think about it, it makes total sense, and it's awesome. I mean, it's fantastic. The guy's like a former WWE champion.
Yeah.
I'm breaking down a little bits here. Jason Jordan, when he eliminated the Miztourage, crowd popped.
Yeah,
they were hot for that.
I mean,
I think it's more of an anti-Miztourage thing, and just popping over eliminations. People love eliminations.
Yeah, but Jason Jordan's also really good in the ring.
Yeah, he's really good in the ring. I want the best for the guy. I hope they start booking his character in
Same
a way
here.
That's interesting.
Same here.
Yeah. Next up, we had an Alexa Bliss interview.
Setting up the main event for the evening, or
yep.
What ended up being the main event. There was a rumored John Cena versus Samoa Joe match that was supposed to happen last night, according to PW Insider.
Right.
Obviously never happened.
Correct.
Apparently Samoa Joe is injured. We have more details on today's Going in Raw Daily.
That's right. It's available right now.
Right now.
You can watch it either now or later,
yeah.
Or simultaneous with this.
Yeah, so the main event ended up being Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's title.
Correct.
She set up with this interview. More or less just said she's going to take the belt back.
Yeah.
After that, Enzo came out for a promo.
Oh, God. You know, dude, okay. I'm trying not to be Mr. Doom and Gloom. I'm really trying not to be Mr. Doom and Gloom. You know, I love 205 Live.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's got so much potential. And Enzo is like immediately torpedoing that potential.
Yes.
I'm not happy about this.
Nor am I.
I'm not happy about this at all. It's one of those things where it's like, on one hand, it's almost kind of this. Okay, this is a terrible analogy, an awful analogy. It's kind of like when Goldberg showed up back in the WWE, because you know he's going to kill everybody, and he did, right? But he's kind of what was best for the show. Because he brought a lot of eyes to it.
Yeah.
Enzo, in his own limited capacity, is Goldberg to the 205 Live division. I just hope the second part of that equation, him killing everybody, isn't going to come to pass. Because, okay, last night was the first time we really saw what Enzo's going to look like as a wrestler on 205 Live. Because we've seen him against other guys that are much bigger than him. But this is his chance to no cast there to stand out. No shenanigans going on the outside with Cass and the club or whatever.
The finish of the match, in kayfabe that is based purely on wrestling acumen.
Exactly. And what we saw was not a positive sign.
No, it wasn't up to par when compared to everybody else on 205
Live. Everybody on 205 Live. It was. I get that he's trying to be more of like a street brawler type. He's got the punches, strikes.
Yeah, that has its place more so in the heavyweight division, but what separates the cruiserweights is the fact that they can do a lot more than that,
right?
And that's why we watch the show.
Yeah.
Is to see these amazing athletes do these amazing feats. And if he's just going there and punch a lot, it's not gonna be that much fun.
I know,
especially if his promo work is getting a bit tiresome.
Has been getting a bit tiresome.
Yeah,
on top of that, like, it's gonna require everybody on 205 Live to drag him to a serviceable match.
Mm-hmm.
His finish was so clumsy.
Yeah.
He falls. It's kind of like a, what is it called? Does it have a name?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you seen him do that before?
I've seen the move before.
Well, I've seen the move before, yeah.
But essentially, he grabs his opponent's arm and falls on his back with his foot under his opponent's chin.
Right.
So it's, impact the bottom of the chin. That's the finisher. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
But when he did it, I think his leg was bent. So it wouldn't have, there's no impact there.
Not only was his leg
bent. And I don't think it was actually.
His foot wasn't even close to the chin. It was like over here, and then it kind of went over here a little bit.
Yeah. It wasn't crisp at all.
I get what the move is supposed to be, but he didn't execute it. Poor Noam Dar, who was doing his best to drag this guy to a decent match, and he got in his own, like, funny sort of, you know, he mocked Enzo's dance a little bit.
Yeah.
That was great. I like Noam Dar.
Yeah, he's good.
And it's just, dude, I mean, it's not going to work. And Neville's back there watching it, and it's like, really? You're going to put him against Neville?
Here's my hope, and it's not going to happen, but here's my hope.
Enzo's going to clear out 205 Live.
No, here's my hope, is that, how many weeks do we have between now and No Mercy? About a month? 4 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Have Enzo defeat people on kind of the lower card of 205 Live.
Yeah.
Somehow he earns a title match.
Yeah.
Neville destroys him at amazing. No Mercy. Annihilates him.
Amazing. That would be
just
absolutely
ragdolls him all over the ring.
Apparently, Chuck Taylor, according to somebody in chat, Patrick Levin in chat, calls that move Soul Food.
Oh.
S-O-L-E.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like Chuck Taylor.
He's great. He's good.
Anyways.
That's my hope. Won't happen. They'll probably put the belt on Enzo.
Dude, they cannot, after all that, they can't have Enzo go over clean on Neville. They can't do it. But I fear they are going to. I really do. Maybe that's just WWE messing with us. Maybe they're like, oh, yeah, we got you. We know what we're doing. But, man, I don't know. Like, winning the Cruiserweight Championship is like a punishment. Like, is that supposed to be his punishment? You know what I mean? That's
something
that bugs me the
most. I know. It bugs me, too. It's sort of like, well, it's not sort of like, but I guess it's, you can compare it somewhat to when Reigns had his wellness policy violation, got suspended, came back, and they
that
put the U.S. title.
That was one of the best lines of Cena's.
Basically, right on it.
You took the U.S. title as a demotion.
Oh, I know.
That was such a great line. Especially after he illustrated, I took the U.S. title as a symbol of opportunity and put over other guys.
Yeah.
Then Neville was watching backstage after Enzo gets. I'm sorry, Neville was after Enzo gets his win. I think Dash is there to interview him, and he just basically laughs off Enzo.
Next, Paul Heyman came out with Brock Lesnar, delivered a promo hyping up Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty typical Paul Heyman stuff. Effective, really putting over Braun. I was really surprised they didn't have Braun come out and do something.
According to a couple of people in chat, also for Enzo, it's called Eat Defeat, as in defeat.
Yeah, no, I get defeat. It. I get it.
I like Soul Food better.
Yeah.
But that's kind of funny. So Paul Heyman running down Braun Strowman, saying, I don't believe in monsters, but Braun Strowman is a monster, something like that.
So he's saying he doesn't believe in Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways. He yapped away a lot, and then Brock took the mic from him, at which point everybody in the audience gasps.
Yeah, that hardly ever happens.
He's going to talk.
What is Brock going to say?
He said three words.
Suplex City. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what he said. Anyways, next up we had Seth Rollins versus...
Let me ask you something.
Cesaro.
I was watching Raw on kind of a lower volume, so yeah. I couldn't really hear the crowd, except when they were obviously being loud.
Okay.
Was the crowd kind of dead for these two matches?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a variation of what we've already seen.
Oh, this is how they build tension in tag team feuds these days.
Yeah,
now.
No, I know.
It's just a bunch of singles matches.
No, I feel like they were. I feel like towards the finish of Rollins, Cesaro. I mean, I'll be honest. I wasn't like super paying attention to the crowd at this point. But I feel like the crowd was kind of popping towards the end of the match, and then when it transitioned into Ambrose versus Sheamus, people were kind of hyped about that.
Oh, okay.
I feel
so
like
that's why I thought it was the quietest.
Could be completely wrong.
When Sheamus got on the mic and said, "Oh, Ambrose, don't you leave?"
Maybe I thought. Well, then he said, "We got a fight coming up next." I thought people were hyped up about that, but I don't know, man. I honestly don't know.
Okay, I was just curious because you know, as I said, I was watching it on lower volume. Anyways, Seth Rollins did take on
according
Cesaro.
To Terrence Thompson in chat, he says the crowd was dead all night. They weren't dead all night.
Not all night.
They popped for Jason Jordan and Jeff Hardy.
They were very quiet during these two matches. Though. Mm-hmm. Cesaro hit a trio of Rainmakers on Seth Rollins. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did.
The finish saw Seth get distracted by Ambrose and Sheamus brawling on the outside. He turns around, eats an uppercut from Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro gets the win. Sheamus then says, kind of to the confusion of pretty much everybody, including the commentary team, "Hey, we have a match now."
Yeah.
That happened right away. The finish saw Rollins and Cesaro kind of brawling a little bit on the outside.
Yeah.
Rollins does a springboard knee on the Sheamus while Sheamus has Ambrose in position for white noise. Ambrose then wins with Dirty Deeds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the crowd was hot for Cena versus Roman.
So oh, yeah.
People in chat are feeling it on the crowd love. Apparently they were hot for Ambrose last night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
After that, we had a backstage segment between Emma and Mickie James. Emma still complaining.
Whining.
Saying that she was the one that started the women's revolution.
And Mickie James has a proposal for her. Say, fine. You think that way? Face me tonight. And if you lose, what is it? You have to like get off Twitter or something like that?
Well, you can't say you started the women's revolution.
Right, yeah. You can't say that ever again. Which, of course, meant that Mickie James is about to lose.
Yep, and that's what happened.
Hey, you know what? I like this, though. Emma's been on TV.
I know.
This bums me out, though. So the match was later. They got rid of her music. Emma's music, they changed it.
Oh, I didn't notice
to
that.
To something much more generic. I am so bummed out. I had gotten so used to it. And here's the thing. You know, she comes up to the stage and she does this thing with her butt out and does this or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not in beat. There's like no beat. It's not in beat. She just goes out there and does. Because before it was...
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
I really love the variation on her old theme.
No, I agree.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was good.
It fit her perfectly. Like, it gave her swag when she was coming down the ramp.
That's a bummer.
She gets up there and it's just some lady like singing, man. It's kind of a bummer.
What are they doing with the music lately?
No, man. Well, they keep on changing things. They don't need to be changed.
Well, and then they change them and it's not an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Mickie James versus Emma was next. Emma won with a roll-up. Then afterwards, she just started screaming, "I started the women's revolution."
Yeah.
All the way backstage.
She was trying to act like kind of crazy about it, you know, just kept on repeating it. "Oh, I started the women's
revolution." Well, it seemed like that she was trying to convince the crowd, but also to a certain extent trying to convince herself that was the
right,
case.
Right. Oh, yeah. Somebody mentioned in chat also, our commentary team for the night was Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Jerry the King Lawler. I miss Booker T. But he's obviously he's from Houston, or he's in Houston. He lives there, resides there. Isn't he running for like mayor of Houston? Mayor of Planet Houston. So he was, of course, there dealing with a hurricane. He's giving Hurricane Harvey some Harlem heat, hopefully. Anyways, our thoughts, of course,
absolutely.
Go out to everybody out there in Houston.
Absolutely.
In Texas. So next up we had
the segment everybody's been talking about the last half a day.
Wow. So this is the official contract signing.
For a match that was announced during the course of the show, so absolutely no build for it.
Right, exactly.
And apart from their...
Wasn't this match announced on Twitter?
Yeah,
on WWE.com.
I think so.
I think
so.
Something like that.
I mean, I shouldn't say there's zero build because they did have some interaction last week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So
but
last week,
not
a
ton of build.
Right. I mean, with Cena, you don't really... These days with Cena, you don't need build.
No, I was going to say. I was going to say because they the way they staged that segment... they made up for a couple weeks.
Yeah, no, they totally did. It was
because
great.
It was just intense and fiery.
So John like signs immediately, right?
Something yeah,
like
he comes out first. Yeah. He signs immediately, gets on the mic.
Yeah.
And again explains, you know, I came over here to Raw to face one person, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, so Roman comes down and before he looks at the contract and he just says basically, why am I signing this? Why am I fighting you? I don't need to.
Yeah, I'm the man that retired The Undertaker. I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
And then Cena just, wow. Oh, wow.
God. It was, dude. And by the end, you know you've been absolutely mugged by John Cena if your close-up at the end is one of a man.
It's like this.
Who is completely lost his entire manhood. He looked like he was going to cry. Number one, during Roman Reigns' promo, I don't know if he got... So apparently it was like completely, absolutely, 100% scripted. Mm-hmm. Like both sides of it.
And what I'll say, based on if that's the fact, performance from both men, really... I mean, Cena, exceptional. But
Cena,
Reigns,
yeah,
that was probably the best promo work he's done. Especially after he slipped up and he actually... started raising
see
his
that,
voice
to,
at Cena.
To me, the slip up and then the see this is just a difference of opinion here, because the slip up to me was everything, and then the recovery was like 8 decibels higher than he was talking before because he found his passion because he slipped up. It was like, oh man, I just
see,
screwed
kinda,
up. Let me start.
I kind of wonder though if the slip up was intentional. That's how I interpreted it.
I don't know, man.
Based on the beats they were hitting going back and forth. Him slipping up there allowed Cena that opportunity to throw a dig in.
Yeah.
And then that dig is what got Reigns fired up. And then that's why he raised the decibel level. That's how I took it.
Yeah. To me, it felt a little bit more awkward than that. I wasn't huge on Roman. At first I was. When Roman was first talking about John Cena.
Go ahead.
I was just, okay. So when Roman was first talking to John, I was into it. And because he said, you know, you're bringing out your golden shuffle. And then he corrected himself, said shovel. And I was really disappointed they didn't talk about Baron Corbin.
Yeah,
because
no.
It's kind of a big, that's kind of, well, a thing,
I mean, that's
that happened.
What the golden shovel thing alluded to.
No, I know, but if the crowd would have gasped if he said, I'm not Baron Corbin, John, so don't talk to me like I'm Baron
Corbin. Oh, I know.
Corbin.
I
that
know.
Would have been a great line.
Yeah.
And so when he was doling that out, and then I felt like he could have even had a counter to, because here's the thing, you don't want this promo to be all John Cena bearing Roman Reigns.
That's kind of what it was.
And that's exactly what it was. But it couldn't have been designed to do that.
Well, here's the thing.
And because, so then John rightfully says, you're wheeling out the same thing that everybody else wheels out. I'm a part-timer. I bury all this young talent. And he says, stop blaming me. And Roman, to like, that holds water with guys like The Miz during their feud, etc. Like other guys. With Roman is, I thought they had it perfect when Cena was saying, or when Roman was saying, yeah, I'm untouchable. I'm the one guy that
you
can't see.
Yeah.
Which was a great line. And it was wonderfully delivered.
Yeah, that was good.
But then when he stumbled, I felt like he kind of lost his way and just started talking loud. So up to a point, I thought it was really, really good. And it was really effective. I just felt like there's a counter. Here's the thing. When John Cena says, you're trotting out the same old stuff that everybody else does, there is a counter to that because, no, I'm Roman Reigns. Do you not understand that I'm totally going to beat you because I'm Roman Reigns? And that's when you have that subtle and not subtle like meta crap going on where I'm Roman Reigns, so you're going to have to figure out a way to beat me, meaning you're going to have to politic your way into a win.
What if he actually went that far? So you better start talking to people backstage if you think you're going to win this match.
Exactly. Like if you're going to go so far, it might as well.
I know Cena went way far with the meta stuff.
Exactly. And he even said, you know, goodbye, fourth wall. But so when Roman stumbled and John got, here's the thing about John Cena, and a lot of people like, you know, totally hate on John Cena, but most of the reaction last night was more positive than negative about Cena. And it's because, and he's been known in the past to bury people, but he's also been known to put people over that I think in John Cena's eyes are doing what they need to do to get over with the WWE.
I think we talked about this with the Baron Corbin thing. Cena understands the value in beating him, and so he's choosy about it.
And his criteria, and this could be completely naive, his criteria does seem to be, yes, through his own John Cena filter, are you resonating with them or not?
Yeah.
And if you're not, and you're doing things completely the wrong way, and you're not up to the challenge, then I'm going to bury you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just saw that Wade Barrett wasn't the guy to go with. I never thought Wade. I mean, originally, that was the Nexus thing was kind of cool. But like in the end, we were never like, oh man, Wade Barrett. Like when Daniel Bryan was kind of getting buried, we were always like, man, this guy has everything. Why aren't they pushing the crap out of him? With Wade Barrett, I never felt that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With Baron Corbin, we're fans of how he's
grown as a performer.
Yeah. But I've never felt, oh yeah, he's the guy I put the title on.
Yeah.
So
Baron Corbin always seemed transition champion.
Right.
That's what he seemed.
I think Cena with Kevin Owens, for example.
Yeah.
That win that Owens had over
him. Oh, that was massive.
Was shocking and massive and amazing, and it did wonders for Kevin Owens. And I honestly feel it's because John Cena looks at Kevin Owens and says, you've been in the business for 15 years.
You've worked your butt off. You handle your business the right way. You carry yourself like a professional.
And I know how you are. I know how you can possibly resonate with these people.
Yes.
Same with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I mean, Cena is a gatekeeper, but he kind of knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does.
So I think with this Roman Reigns thing, and that's why I think he was, when Reigns stumbled, I think Cena seized upon that, because why wouldn't he? It's kind of like the Triple H versus Roman Reigns match, where we both kind of felt, I wonder if Triple H is
trying to tell Roman, hey, this is your opportunity. You need to step it up.
I'm not going to carry you to being the guy.
Yeah,
you have to do something here.
Yeah,
and I think that was Cena saying, oh, let's see what he can do on his feet. And I don't. And Roman just didn't. He sort of smiled and shrugged it off. And
let me ask you this: what if after this feud, Cena goes to Vince and says, "Vince, I don't think he has it." What is Vince going to do?
Oh, man, I don't know. But you know what, man? That reaction that Roman gave, the cry face, like there's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to do in that situation. Like if you're stone cold, you don't need to stick to the script, you know, and you're Roman Reigns. You want to be the guy, then get off script.
I know.
And just lay into John Cena and say, dude, they're already, you know, I already have my legacy cemented. You're icing on the cake. There's a million things that you can improv.
Well, I mean, like when he's going through the list of why people react to Cena the way they do,
mm-hmm.
and his first thing was, first of all, you just suck.
That's a horrible
one. That was awful. Say, you're predictable.
Yeah.
You're kind of corny.
Yeah.
You're cheesy.
Yeah.
You're boring at this point.
Yeah.
You're going through the motions. Say something like that.
Yeah.
That's something that has sting.
I know.
But it's to say, you suck.
Yeah.
That's
first of all,
it holds no water because... First of all, John Cena is talking circles around Roman Reigns. Second of all, AJ Styles and John Cena had one of the better WWE matches of the year, the Royal Rumble.
I know.
It's plainly obvious that John Cena, in fact, doesn't suck.
Exactly.
He's been the top guy in the company for more than a decade.
Yeah.
Don't think he sucks.
He does either. And John Cena's all those points that he made, like the most blistering one was... You should be ashamed because I'm only here because you can't do your job
that
right. It's true.
That I do my job better as a part-timer than you do as a full-timer.
Exactly. Wow. Because it's true.
It is.
Like, I'm sorry, but you can like not like Cena as much as you want. The guy pops ratings.
Yeah.
You know, like he is
you can never question his work ethic.
Exactly. What he's saying is true, and it's the harsh truth. And what he was saying was, they want you to be the guy.
Oh, and they said you're just a watered down Cena bootleg.
Bootleg,
like
exactly. Yeah. So I loved it. I was freaking out. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was just a great pro wrestling moment where two guys where the writing is all over the wall. I thought this, and Cena even said, "Man, this is a WrestleMania matchup." And kudos to Kurt Angle for making the match at No Mercy.
No Mercy.
This was absolutely a WrestleMania style promo.
Oh yeah, it's a WrestleMania style build.
It really is. So I loved it. I thought, and then by the end, what was the $5 line? I forgot what it was. I wish I had the promo in front of me. But anyways, Roman Reigns. He said he's like a $5 version of him or something like that. I don't know what it was.
I remember what that was.
But
Roman signed the contract and then turned the table over. He wanted to fight.
And then welcome. How does the club's theme song go?
I kind of feel like it's similar, the chords are similar to the Bullet Club theme.
Bum, bum, bum.
It is. That's right.
It is.
It totally is. How do we not know that?
Bum, bum, bum.
So the club comes out and says, you guys look like a couple of nerds. That's pretty much their gimmick now, is calling people nerds. You don't look, you're not good brothers.
It's fantastic. It's
we're
really
good
great.
Brothers. You're nerds. Let's fight. That's pretty much what it is.
Oh, it's fantastic. Keep talking about it. I'm gonna see
we have some copy we have to get through here, Steve. So let's get through it, and then we can circle back to this.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Today's sponsor.
Oh, yeah. We got to give a shout out to our sponsor.
Yeah. Is the Original Craft Beer Club. The Original Craft Beer Club discovers exceptional craft beers.
Why didn't we segue from the club comes out? Speaking of clubs, the Original
Craft Beer Club. The Original Craft Beer Club discovers exceptional craft beers from around the country and delivers them to your door.
To my door.
Or a gift recipient's door. It is Steve's birthday coming up.
Yeah.
It makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, Steve's birthday, and so much more.
Steve Day.
Each beer featured is from a small independent craft brewery with limited distribution. What does that mean, Steve?
You can't get it everywhere.
That's right. Each shipment contains 12 12-ounce beers from two featured breweries, with each brewery offering two different styles. What's great is, say, you out there watching the show or listening to it live on the East Coast and don't have access to craft breweries out here in California.
California, yeah.
But with Original Craft Beer Club, you can discover great beers that you may otherwise never get to try.
And here's the thing. It's not just any old beer. It's they're all beers that have high ratings. Many have also won awards in major craft beer competitions. And each month, the selected craft breweries are located states apart, so there's no chance of distribution overlap.
Yeah, that's right. Shipments also include a monthly newsletter that has the story behind the beer, what's in it, and where it originated. It also includes recipes to try with the selected brews. And some beer trivia.
Beer trivia. Not to be confused with our chat trivia, which we do for patrons.
Yes.
It's beer trivia. It's always free shipping and no membership fee or obligation. New members can receive up to 3 free bonus gifts, which is more than any other beer club. It includes a 1-year subscription to Beer Connoisseur e-magazine, a bottle opener, a coaster collection of 4 coasters.
Yeah. Going In Raw listeners can now get $10 off orders of 3 months or more by going to www.craftbeerclub.com/goinginraw. Again.
Yeah.
Go to www.craftbeerclub.com/goinginraw, all one word, to get $10 off an order of 3 months or more. Thank you very much to the Original Craft Beer Club for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely. If you want to cry of tears of joy because beer arrives at your door, as opposed to tears of sadness if you just got ran down by John Cena. See that? See how I all tie together?
That was a really awkward way to circle it.
Anyways, the club comes out. They're like, nerds.
Nerds, well, let's have a match. They have a match because I think Kurt Angle's still out there through all of this.
He's just hanging out in the ring. He's tickled.
Yeah.
He's tickled because, man, he was like one of the greats. And he just sits there. That's like the best. You just sit there and watch
and
two guys
soak it all in.
Just soak it all
in. I know.
Yeah, he's probably laughing at Roman backstage with Cena. He's like,
I will say that Reigns' character work during this match was actually pretty entertaining.
For a guy who's just been broken in half.
Because he was teasing Cena the entire match.
Emotionally, yeah. Oh, no, that was good.
It was actually really fun.
No, the match was good. It was fun. I love the club.
Reigns picks up the win after a spear on Carl Anderson.
And they did sort of like a... Well, they said Cena is upstaging Roman by giving his guy the attitude adjustment while Roman was delivering the spear for the victory.
Yeah.
I just thought it looked cool in tandem.
Yeah.
So anyway,
teamwork, are they going to force them together to form a tag team again?
But this was no... Yeah, there you go. Cena and Roman Reigns versus Ambrose and Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
This time there was no like accidental hitting of somebody else. So I'm glad they did that. I hate when they like just...
Yeah, just keep doing the same thing. I know, I agree.
Next up, ladies and gentlemen, Elias Sampson.
No, it's just Elias now.
Who wants to walk with Elias? I love Elias Sampson.
Yeah, he's great.
Started talking crap about Memphis.
He was interrupted by Jerry the King Lawler, of course, from Memphis.
A legend in Memphis.
Yes.
I love when they, so every once in a while when they're coming back from commercial, they have like, you know, exterior shots of Memphis. And one of them, Jerry says, "Hey, look, it's my restaurant." He's the best. Although, you know what, man? I understand, like, a lot of his humor is still, like, completely and totally out of date. Much of it might be construed as offensive. But, I mean, it's Jerry Lawler. Appreciate him while he's around.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways. So
he brings out, from Southpaw Regional Wrestling,
Pelvis Wesley. I love, by the way, that they never referred him as Heath Slater.
I know.
They never betrayed that he was Heath
Yeah,
Slater.
During this, the rest of this segment, yeah, no one broke kayfabe. No one said, oh, that's just Heath Slater.
Yeah.
They sold Pelvis Wesley the entire time.
Yeah.
Of course, he took a drift away from Elias. No match, just not, an opportunity for Elias to look strong.
Oh, I know. It was great.
They're doing a really good job booking Elias.
Elias looks like he's having so much fun.
I know.
There.
He genuinely looks like he's having a great time.
He really does.
Every time he comes out to do a song,
he's like, statement,
it's, you can see he's trying so hard to contain a smile. He doesn't want to start laughing, but he really wants to.
Because here's the thing. He also knows that he's getting some cheers. People love this stuff.
Oh,
you
know
what I mean?
I know.
Then, of course, when he's immediately when you start running down somebody's actual town, then people, the boo birds come out. So anyways, next up we had a Miz interview. Where I think was this Renee Young?
Yeah.
Okay. I think she was trying to get to the Miz. You know, she was saying, "Well, you know, you wanted competition. You wanted to elevate the title. Isn't this how you do it?"
Yeah. And he was upset about having the match next week against Jeff Hardy.
Not happy about that. Next up, we had a Sasha Banks interview. She had gone through Winterview, not Loserview.
Oh yeah.
Into Loserview because like she was a bit too much.
Yeah.
It was like, well, I know I'm about to lose this, so I'm just going to give it my all.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. Professional Sasha Banks basically said that I'm going to, you know, whatever, wipe the smile off her face or whatever.
Something like that.
Alexa Bliss came out to fight Sasha Banks with what looked like Lou's face. It wasn't, but there was something just inherently there that I didn't really believe it as Lou's face.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's just kind of her default is Lou's face.
Yeah.
So maybe she's getting really good at, well, her default is Lou's face, but she's actually losing is the most losing of Lou's face.
Oh, it's extra sauce on it. This didn't feel like extra Lou's face.
No.
And it was the main event, so I figured, oh, you know what, they're going to do something here. Anyways, decent match. It was probably one of the better Alexa Bliss matches I've seen.
Yeah. It wasn't quite as hard-hitting as their match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but they work well together.
Yeah.
Alexa won. She went over with a nasty DDT.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Sasha did a great job selling that.
Absolutely. Nia Jax comes out for her, I guess, heel turn on Alexa Bliss. I don't know who the
No, I think that's
Nia
Jax's
face turn.
Is
that
a
face turn?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, she comes out to celebrate with Alexa Bliss. She lifts her up on her shoulders, and everybody is just sitting there waiting for this to happen. Yeah, you're going to dump her.
Yep.
You're totally going to dump her on her head.
And then she did.
And then she did. She stands tall with the title. So
that's the match at No Mercy, it seems
like. Looks like we're getting No Mercy. Nia Jax needs that title like yesterday, man.
But here's the thing. If rumors are true and Asuka is going to be called to Raw to potentially take the title off the champion at TLC, it would make sense for Alexa Bliss to be champion, yes, since she is the heel.
Asuka supersedes everybody and everything.
No, I know she
You think
does.
She's going to come in and immediately win the title?
That's what I read.
Who'd you read that from?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Because, like, some of those dirt sheets out there have been kind of, like,
wrong.
Completely missing
oh,
the
I
mark
know.
These days.
I know.
I mean, look, here's the thing.
I'm not saying I was like, yeah, that's going to happen.
This is why I don't care about having, like, an insider or something. Because... It all depends on what day and
I
what
know,
side of the
I
bed
know.
Vince wakes up on, you know? Like, you can never, like, we'll look like idiots if we sit here, we got our breaking insider guy saying that they're going to have, you know, Samoa Joe versus Elias Samson for the Universal Championship at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
That's the plan right now. Because the plan literally changes on a moment, like a
it
moment's
notice. It could
change
the morning of the show.
Look at the betting odds. And how they swing the day of shows. Like, massive storylines. Huge title changes. It'll change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And those betting odds change because there's an insider who has inside information. And, look, things swung. They changed.
Yep.
Things change in me because Vince is in control.
Yeah. He's fickle.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Not sure I like the finish of this Universal title match.
Let's rewrite the whole show now with... 20 minutes before air. All right, let's answer some questions.
All right.
I'm not the real Kenny Omega. 14 likes on this question. That's
Whoa.
A lot. Was the Cena-Roman segment a shoot, and do you think that's the way Cena really feels about Roman? No, it was all scripted. That's what we heard.
All scripted. Yeah, we read that.
And right, that's probably what the wrestling community wants Cena to think about Roman.
Yeah, I mean, there might be like shades of truth there.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Hamza Halal, 10 likes. What are some of the best roasts in wrestling ever? What we saw last night was up there.
I mean, obviously the CM Punk pipe bomb.
Yes.
Was a big one.
Yeah, that was a massive one.
Cena when he ran down the Miz. Before Mania.
Yeah.
That was a big one when Miz had original cry face.
Yeah. That was still the most cry face.
That was the
Miz looked like he was literally on the verge
still
of
the
tears.
Bar of cry face. Speaking of the Miz, running down Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Big burns there.
Yeah.
Big burns. But Daniel Bryan, instead of betraying a cry face, he just walked away.
Yeah.
Smart move on his part.
Yeah. You don't have cry face on live TV.
Nope.
Not at all. James Rodriguez, with Brock showing up on three consecutive Raws as well as a pay-per-view, do you think part of the reason why WWE has cut back on pyro and canceled shows like Talking Smack is because they are breaking the bank to afford Lesnar for more dates?
I think there's... I mean, I don't know if one means the other, but obviously they... Yeah, honestly, I don't know if the dates that Brock is showing up for now... If they're in excess of what he's already contracted to do, I would think, again, assuming there's a long-term plan in place, is probably folly.
Yeah, that's a massive assumption.
But, you know, if every extra appearance does cost as much as we've sort of heard and is very expensive,
yeah,
then I would imagine that they're just probably using his contracted dates. But, you know, the bottom line is they want to make money and not lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of pyro is a way to make money. Mm-hmm. Having Brock Lesnar on your show is a way to make money.
Yes. So. James the Highland Scott, top five best theme song because it fits their character, not just the most awesome.
Well, Stone Cold is like,
yeah,
fits him perfectly.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt fits him perfectly.
Oh, yeah, Bray Wyatt, yeah.
Bobby Roode made that song fit him.
Yeah, that's true. No Way Jose's is literally just a party song that features his name. I think that's probably number one.
Yeah.
There's nothing more No Way Jose
than a song with the entire lyrics are No Way Jose.
Your name. You can't apply that song to anybody else. I love Cassius Ohno's too, because
Oh no.
Oh, and that's good. I hope that he does stick around for a long time, because when the Big Show goes away, we're gonna need a new
way. Oh, I know.
Oh no. So I think that's five. Oh, here we go. This is a good one. Nemo with 7 likes. John talked about his shiny gold shuffle. Power rank the best shiny shuffles. Nemo suggests Vince, Triple H, John Cena, Randy Orton, and Hulk Hogan. I don't think anybody had a bigger shuffle than Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I know.
He had the most shuffle.
Yeah.
You know who also had a big shuffle? Andre the Giant. He wasn't going to lose to you unless he was cool with it, you know? Nobody would ever tell Andre,
you have to do the job here.
Hey, Andre, are you cool with this?
Sure thing, boss,
you know? Although I'm pretty sure, didn't he only ever lose to Hogan? Wasn't he, like, literally undefeated that entire...
No, that's not true.
No, it's not?
In the WWE, maybe.
Right, yeah.
But elsewhere, no, he lost matches.
Really?
Before. Yeah, I think so. Brennan Hardy, how are we supposed to take Sasha's title reign seriously if she just loses it a week later? And why does the WWE have such an infatuation with hot potato wing titles so much?
A big potato what?
I wonder if they're making this Sasha's story now where she wins the title and just can't ever defend it. And then one day she'll... It's not the huge moment isn't winning the title, it's successfully defending it.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I don't know what deal that is.
So I hadn't really thought about it until they made a point of the story... for the match last night.
I mean, I think I'll put it this way. I think it's a good potential setup for a story if they want to go that route.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They obviously want to get to the Alexa Bliss. I think they're realizing that people really mark out for Alexa Bliss. You know, I don't think it's going to be like a face turn. I think you're right about the Nia Jax. I think that was a face turn.
Yeah. Dick Knuckle.
It's a great name.
Do you think wrestling ability is more important or promo ability? You can't say both. You must pick one.
So you're a terrible wrestler,
but you're a great awesome promo on the mic. Guy. So essentially,
I'm going to say this, dude. Who would you rather have? Hold on, I got to think of somebody who's a great. Okay, don't say Enzo. Who's the, traditionally who's a great promo guy who wasn't great in the ring? All right, let's just say Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. That's
too,
too much
because he really wasn't that great on the mic. He wasn't. Anyways, but we'll that'll be the example. That's fine. Carry on.
I'd rather see a Chris Benoit match than a Hulk Hogan match. Chris Benoit, like, he can get on the mic and he could cut a serviceable promo, but that wasn't his thing. His thing was in the ring.
I think also too is I think the demands of on promo ability is different in WWE than say New Japan.
Right.
So
oh yeah.
It kind of depends where you are. If it's New Japan, then yeah, I want the better wrestler.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Yeah.
In WWE.
Well, I mean, also here's the thing, like AJ Styles, he's developed into a decent mic guy
because
he just comes up sort of natural.
Yeah.
But people would be popping for him regardless.
Yeah.
Look at RVD.
Yeah.
I mean, look, dude, he was never a great promo guy.
No.
You know, he was barely even a serviceable promo guy. It's just he had an infectious sort of natural charisma.
Yeah.
That like he could do this. He could do the Yano and this stuff. And people would totally dig it.
Yeah.
Because he had that good-natured guy thing. But then he was fantastic in the ring. So to me, it's sort of, I'll be honest with you, give me a great wrestler. Because no matter what, it's like, man, I always know I'm going to get a good wrestling match.
Yeah. You know? Usually a really great wrestler, given the opportunity to put on good matches, can get themselves over.
Exactly. And on top of that, like a good wrestling match, you know, let's say they give him, go out there and give me 10 minutes. You're not gonna. I don't want to hear a 10-minute promo.
No.
I don't even want to hear The Rock speak for 10 minutes or Stone Cold speak for 10 minutes. More time.
The Lunatic Baby.
Baby.
Why are WWE continuing this Balor-Bray storyline? No one wants to see it continue. It would have been better to have Balor win the Battle Royal to become Intercontinental Champion. What are your thoughts?
I like Jeff Hardy, but I agree with the Balor-Bray thing.
Me too.
I don't want any part of that anymore, man.
Because if they're going to have another match at No Mercy and Finn doesn't do the demon thing, is he going to lose?
Right. No Mercy.
So he can only win pay-per-view matches as Demon Balor? It just seems like they're writing themselves into a tricky or a pickle story-wise.
No, I agree.
Liam, do a couple more.
Liam Wagner, power ranked the top five feuds with real-life heat. He mentions Edge, Lita, Matt Hardy, HBK and Brett, Hogan Warrior, CM Punk, Jeff Hardy. Hogan Warrior, although they didn't have legit heat. They just didn't, by the end, like in 98, they just didn't know how to work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're talking about the WCW days, WWF, they seemed fine with each other. Hogan literally laid down for him. But by 98, they just didn't know how to work with each other. Like both guys were just completely in their own plane of existence.
Yes.
But I don't think there was any heat between the two.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Hogan just said he got annoyed with some of like Warrior's promos when he was like referencing their old fight, which I never understood. Like if, you know, we already fought, why are people going to buy the new one? Called a rematch.
Yeah.
It's like one of the biggest rematches theoretically ever.
Yeah, I know.
Just dropped a giant turd.
Yeah, it was a crap match.
Goldberg Jericho. I don't even remember their WWE feud.
I don't know if it was protracted.
Yeah. CM Punk, Jeff Hardy. Was there real life heat there?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I never heard that one.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Well, didn't Ric Flair and Eric Bischoff have some real heat?
They had all the heat, man.
Fire me, you can't fire me.
Fire me, you can't fire me.
Or fire me, you're already fired.
All right, I'm already fired. I'm fired. Can't fire me. Fire me. What are you even talking about? Oh, man.
One more.
All right, well, Uno Mas. Who's going to be the man? All right, this is a simple enough one. From Tommy T. Did you say this already?
I don't think so.
9 likes. Promo of the year so far. It's up there.
It's pretty good.
At least top 3, but don't ask me to say what the other two were.
Oh, Samoa Joe and Paul Heyman.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Oh.
That's up there.
Oh, that's definitely up there, man. That might be number 1. Because, golly, that was good. And on top of that, like, Cena Reigns, okay, it was ballsy of them to do it that way.
Yeah.
Also kind of easy.
Yeah.
A little on the easy side. You can, like, this is all stuff that, like, people just never thought they'd say, but they let them say it.
I know.
A little easy.
Yeah, it is.
Samoa Joe and Paul Heyman.
That was all about performance and being convincing.
Yeah, I know.
And it was so well done.
It was terrifying. You're going to black out. I'm going to put my arms around your neck.
Oh, man.
Everything's
so
gonna
good.
Everything's going to fade out for you. I want you to go and remember what that's like.
Tell him to hush. Oh,
that
was
terrifying,
so
good, man. Woo.
So good. All right, Steve.
What?
It's time.
What?
For the greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge of all time.
You got that right, buddy. What is it?
Kayfabe Corner.
All right. Don't look at my computer screen. I'm going to take a picture of Kayfabe Corner, my list.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Because I don't like having it on my screen when you're sitting here like...
No, that's a fair point.
Wandering eyes.
That's why I emailed to myself before we start the show.
All right, so Kayfabe Corner, for those of you who do not know, is the greatest wrestling trivia challenge. I will present Larson with 12 names. Some of them are real, some are fake. And two trivia questions. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, number one.
One. Wait, what was up for vote?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So I put forth two names to our $10 and up a month patrons to vote on Kayfabe Corner. Given that these two women competitors this past weekend caused quite a bit of controversy. Well, one of them did. The other one just had her arm popped out.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy Star and Rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure these are two names that we've never done.
Yeah.
Kayfabe Corner. A lot of interesting names here. Number one, real or fake?
Okay.
Danger Boy Derek Wilde.
That's a great name.
I know, right?
Real.
Very good. Jumpin' Johnny York.
Fake.
Good. Blacken Young.
Say that again?
Blacken Young.
Real?
No, it's fake, man. PJ Tyler.
Oh, that's real.
How do you know that one?
I've heard the name before.
No. Madison Eagles.
Real.
Very good. Cherry Rush.
Fake.
Yeah. Porsche Perez.
Real.
Yeah, that's totally real. I know that. Xandra X.
That's a good name, too. Fake.
Yeah. God, this is a terrible list. Misty Hardy.
Misty Hardy? Fake.
Only because I laughed. It could be real. It's a good
name. No, that was a crap name.
Oh, my God. My list is terrible.
I have eight so far.
I chose names that are completely obviously real or fake. The next one is a tag team. The Kimber Bombs.
Real.
That's good. Daisy Hayes.
Fake.
Real. Thank God I got... Gee, Willikers.
Nine.
Red Medicine.
Real.
Fake.
That's a Fugazi album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. All right, time for trivia.
So I got nine.
All right. In 2011, Rosemary defeated three other opponents in a fatal four-way to become number one contender to the Shimmer title.
Okay.
Name just one of the other three.
Bailey.
No. Was Bailey in Shimmer?
I have no idea.
Athena, better
okay.
known as.
Okay, yeah, Ember Moon.
Soraya Knight.
Okay, that's Paige.
And Madison Eagles.
Okay.
Whoever that is.
I just heard or read about that name recently, so that's why I know.
Oh, okay. This last one, you're never going to get. If you do, man, I'll let you win Kayfabe Corner for the entire year.
All right.
You win 2017
All right,
if you get
this. Let's do it.
What division did Rosemary debut in when she got to Shimmer?
I don't know.
It was the Sparkle Division.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, good job.
Nine.
That was a terrible list. I did that. I've got too much going on today.
It has been a busy day, and we got a lot more to do.
You know, Kayfabe Corner is just an anxiety attack for me every week. Or
it really
every other
is.
Week.
How about this? Let's get through the year, and then
Oh, no! We're going to get rid of Kayfabe
Corner. No, we can reevaluate.
Oh, no. That was terrible.
Still have 4 months of Kayfabe Corner.
Yeah, my goodness. I agree with Nicholas Groskirth. Chat trivia is better than Kayfabe Corner.
We've been doing Kayfabe Corner for like 3 years.
Oh, man, we can't get rid of it.
Anyways. Sure we can.
Oh, man, I thought you meant the other thing. All right, anyways, that's it for now. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We're trying to get to 182,000.
Yes.
Till next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.